How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute, who's been on the road, just returned from Mexico. We're looking at Mexico and the economy of North America in general as it relates to South America, the New World Report. The news from Mexico is not positive. Mexico's economy appears on track to contract in the first quarter, entering a technical recession following the on-again, off-again tariffs, which have caused havoc in the Mexican planning. The quote from a senior strategist for XP Investments, the damage is already done. Maybe there's a slight recovery in the second quarter, but this quarter is lost. Evan, a very good evening to you. The economies of North America are wrapped up into the relationship between the U.S. and Mexico, number one trade partner for Mexico, and certainly a great deal of our industries depend on parts flowing through Mexico, not to forget the food, the avocados and the strawberries. So is there talk of recession in Mexico City? Is it a consideration as they answer the tariff threats? I know there's what you'd have to say new but profligate use of the word recession on Wall Street. How is it in Mexico? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Ironically, Mexico is celebrating what was seen as a victory by Claudia Sheinbaum this past Sunday in escaping President Trump's threats of tariffs at least until April. Although that was seen as something that elevated her popularity and contributed to what was supposed to be a anti-U.S. Rally around sanctions in Mexico's principal square in the Zocalo in Mexico City, turning into a celebration of her achievement. However, behind that is an understanding that because of Mexico's strong dependence on the U.S. market, by one estimate, approximately 80% of all Mexican exports go to the United States. And so the threats of not only tariffs on Mexican steel and other products, but a broader trade war really impacts what was already a delicate situation. So a little bit of context, Mexico's economy is actually far more diverse than most people realize in terms of not only agricultural produce and things like petroleum, but also the manufacturing sector, which especially since Mexico's integration into the North American Free Trade Agreement or NAFTA in 1994 has become a very important part of that economy. So prior to all of this, thanks in large part to the relatively anti-U.S. And anti-business policies of Sheinbaum's predecessor, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, the Mexican economy was grinding to a halt. And of course, with the current Morena party in power and some of the uncertainty about judiciary issues and the rule of law, again, it further slowed down. Most recently, with the unfolding of the tariff threats, the prospects for Mexico's growth had dropped from about 2% to, I think the last figure was looking at 0.6% for the entirety of the year. And so it certainly is a significant problem. And it's a problem in part, not only because Mexico could lose a significant portion of its exports to the United States, but also if it loses those, that also has effectively put on hold a lot of the investment, including by the Chinese in Mexico itself. And then, of course, the prospect of issues on immigration, the prospect of losing remittances flows or a portion of those remittances flows, the prospect of Mexicans coming back from the United States to Mexico and the strain that would put, the impact of border closures on supply chains. There's a variety of different impacts in different ways, but frankly, all of it putting a stress on an economy that already was taking a big hit because it was not seen as particularly efficient, not particularly pro-business, electricity costs very, very high, and now this on top of that.
As I understand it, heretofore, Mexico has been under pressure to do something about its very generous and burdensome welfare program, answering the question of what is to be done with people who need subsidies. And they were calling for reform, according to the report in Reuters. Is that still underway, calling for reform, or has that been put aside because of the tariff dispute?
Largely been sidelined, John. On the one hand, you have Claudia Sheinbaum, who is herself a what you'd call a principled leftist, in some ways even more to the left than Andrés Manuel López Obrador. She has promised to continue what is called the fourth transformation, so with more social policies, more green energy focus and other things. And so in many ways, what was once the opposition represented by the previous presidential candidate, Xochitl Gálvez, that had championed some of these issues of the importance of the free market, the right in Mexico has largely been disabled. Morena in politics at the national level and the state level has really taken a dominant role. And so, to the extent that you have the loss of the voice of the right and also the distraction from these more Mexican politics, the question of the role of the private sector with the tariff war. Unfortunately, the fact that these policies are taking Mexico in themselves in a very dangerous way has been really a little bit submerged in the Mexican political discourse right now.
And about those migrants, there is a report, Reuters again, that there's a record number of requests from Mexicans in the U.S. for aid to return to Mexico. It goes like, this is from the International Organization for Migration, which is a UN body that supervises much of the flow of migrants worldwide, not just Mexico. 2,862 requests for assisted voluntary return program. Reuters concludes, this is a way of expressing that the U.S. is no longer a desired destination and they want to go home to work. Is that how to interpret this?
I'd say that's certainly correct. There's certainly a sense among a broad variety of migrants of all places from Colombia, from Venezuela, especially those recently arrived that don't have their status. But indeed, ironically, including people with legal status who no longer feel as migrants that they are welcome. Now, to be clear, only a very small portion of those who are currently returning are of Mexican origin, in part because the relative flows of Mexico vis-a-vis others coming from Central America and more recently Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, Cuba, Haiti has been relatively minimal. But Mexico also has a policy, especially with Sheinbaum and previously AMLO, of embracing and welcoming its migrants. They invested a significant amount of money, or at least committed to set up migrant reception centers to reintegrate them. They tried to set up special programs to attend the needs of migrants, including through their consulates in the United States. And so this sense from migrants of hey, let's reach out to the Mexican government and get their help if we're thinking about returning to our territory is a logical part of it. Although at the end of the day, the relative numbers of migrants who are returning to Mexico as Mexicans is pretty minuscule vis-a-vis some of the other flows that they're going to other parts of the region.
Stay in Mexico policy, I am unclear as to whether it's in effect, whether it's coming back, whether it's been challenged by the courts. Is there clarity on that? It's left over from the first Trump administration, which is 700 years ago. I don't remember.
That is correct, John. There is a bit of an ambiguity, but the policy from the beginning always reflected a way by President Trump in the first administration to close a loophole. And that was that if you applied for asylum, and previously that allowed you to get automatically let into the United States while your asylum claim was being processed, that overloaded the system. That's something that started in the first Trump administration and continued with the Biden administration. When President Trump in the first administration was unable to change the law because of a lack of a majority in Congress, the pot stir that he turned to instead was a loophole which said that if a migrant comes through another country in which they are not threatened, then you can say that you should have waited there and you can wait there while your claim is processed. Now, while Mexico, certainly the border region, has its dangers, that 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 posture legally was strengthened by being able to have an agreement that with a partner that acknowledged that. Now, Trump did get Andres Manuel López Obrador during the first administration to agree to that, which meant that the second part of the effective policy, the obliging people who applied for asylum in the United States could be made in Mexico. That was debated during the Biden administration, who, to the best of my understanding, never fully repudiated the agreement, just didn't send people into Mexico, but rather admit them into the United States. So my understanding of the current status is that President Trump is returning not only to the policy and the agreement that he previously signed, which theoretically still remains in effect, but also the negotiation part, getting Claudia Sheinbaum to agree to accept not only those who are being repatriated from the United States to Mexico, but also those who essentially attempt to enter, apply for asylum, which actually is a rapidly decreasing number, and have them wait in Mexico while their asylum claims are being processed.
I'm speaking with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. We've been focusing on the economy in Mexico and the migrants seeking help either in Mexico because of the generous welfare program that needs reform, or in the United States to return to Mexico. Border security, however, is a major concern for the Trump administration. And when we come back, what is to be done? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,